Zip.
Zap.
Zop.
Zip.
Zap.
Zop.
Zip.
Zap.
Zop. Dad Dan is a bad man, and the bad man won't quit.
Dad Dan is a bad man, and the dad man won't quit.
Mom Deb is a good Deb, is a nice Deb. She's great.
Mom Deb is a good Deb, is a nice Deb. She's great.
Oh, wait! It's Karen! She's there as well at the basketball court. Everyone's there from the town that we call One Tree Hill, minus the one.
Hey, welcome to One Tree Will, the podcast where we watch episodes of One Tree Hill and we talk about them. I'm your host, Will Sana. I'm watching One Tree Hill for the first time.
And I'm Abby. I guess we're doing last names, Pajakowski. And might as well call me Abby Michael Murray.
I thought his middle name was Michael.
It probably is. I took his middle name.
I like the idea that you like someone so much that you type
you type their last name
and their middle name.
Okay, so we're on One Tree Hill episode 5, and it has the just longest title for any episode of television I've ever encountered. And that is...
It's like a Dave Eggers title. This episode is like something that Dave Eggers would title something.
Yeah. It's so long, it could be David Foster Wallace, not even. Like the longer David.
Yeah, but not one of his titles, like an entire book that he wrote.
Yeah. A footnote. Please. This title's so long, it needs a footnote.
That says, footnote, sorry this title is so long.
Yeah. Let me just take a deep breath in to be able to say it all. All that you can't leave behind, parentheses, FKA, where I end and you begin, close parentheses. So we are in it to win it, and so is everyone in this episode of television.
Especially the fathers and sons.
Yeah, and especially the fathers, and especially the father.
Mm-hmm.
Dad Dan.
Oh.
But before we get there, that was a fun little like, oh, what's to come? Let's start at the beginning, shall we? So we have a crazy opening sequence. Just lots of stuff is going on here. We'll see if I can do it justice. Okay, so opening scene. We are cutting between two different scenes quickly. So I'm going to try to cut. So stick around and stay with me, fans. So so Peyton, we start with Peyton. She's in her car in her cool-ass convertible waiting at a stoplight. But what? The stoplight is green and she's not moving. We go to Lucas, he's opening Thud magazine. He's super excited about it. And he sees Peyton's comic strip from this week. And it is four panels. First panel, green light. Second panel, yellow light. Third panel, red light. Fourth panel, all three red lights. And it says, people always leave. Okay, then we go back to Peyton. And she's still in her car, but now people are behind her and it's still green and they're all honking. Everyone's honking. It's like, and she's just staring straight ahead, doesn't give a shit. And then Haley arrives back in to the cafe, but she sees that Lucas is there. So she goes to leave because we can tell that the two of them still haven't made up. But Lucas sees her and he follows her out. And he basically, he's like, we got to talk. We have to finally talk to each other, and he wants to know why Haley was with Nathan. And she finally tells him she's tutoring him. And she says she's tutoring him so Nathan will leave Lucas alone. And she says, I'm doing it for you, Luke. And then Luke gets, you know, feels really guilty. She leaves, and then we go, and then he looks across the street, and he sees what we're seeing, which is Peyton at the green light, everyone honking. The light turns yellow. The light turns red. As soon as it turns red, she presses her foot on the gas. And speeds through the first red light. And then we see all the lights turn red. And she runs every single red light all down the main street. Into...
My first thought when watching that was, as someone who grew up in a small town, that's too many stoplights.
That's so true.
Yeah. Because I think we had two.
It's like every single block is a stoplight.
It's like really poor city planning.
Any thoughts on Haley and Nathan? Nope. Haley and Lucas. Uh-oh. You're already getting them mixed up.
I mean, there are a couple Scots. What's the problem? I felt like he felt bad. She quickly got the upper hand in this exchange.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite buy it.
No, because we know, like, we know that that's how it started. Mm-hmm. But then we know from, like, their last conversation that Nathan had already proven that her tutoring wasn't really helping Lucas.
Yeah.
And she agreed to do it anyway. So now it's like, what are you hiding, Haley?
Right. And when we just hear the way she describes it, it does sound harmless, but we also hear all the things that she's not saying.
Yes.
You know, and she's saying
with
it.
With her eyes.
She's saying it in a way that comes across as really selfless. But we kind of know she has some skin in the game, to use like a basketball metaphor.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I feel like...
some pig skin in the game, basketball.
Yeah. She like wants to take it to the field. Sport. Yeah.
Yeah.
All or nothing. Mm-hmm. Bases are loaded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ice has been zambonied.
The name of the split in bowling where there's one on either side.
It's a split.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we go to Nathan and Tim playing b-ball in Nathan's driveway. And he's basically like, Nathan is like, Peyton's going to take me back. And this is when this is when Dan comes in from his morning jog. And he goes like, pass it, pass the ball. And he grabs the ball, scores, and then makes a big dig at Nathan where he's like, there's more of that coming at the father-son basketball game. Because we find out that there is this big fundraiser father-son b-ball game in the near future, which seems to be the main conflict of this episode of One Tree Hill.
It's also, I mean, this is the worst possible tradition for this town to have for this family. I mean, this town couldn't have come up with a worse charity event.
I dare you to come up with a worse one right now.
Instead of the father-son basketball game, the father-son's basketball game. And it's just a game between fathers who have more than one son with different women.
Oh, God. But I feel like that would actually work out better for them.
Father sons?
Because then people would be like, well, that makes sense for them.
It'd be 2-on-1.
Yeah. And that, like, maybe that would have let Nathan and Lucas, like, bond more. I actually think you're wrong. I think father and sons would have been a better b-ball game.
Just next. So, like, a worse competition for the characters that we know.
Yeah. Like, what would be the worst possible fundraising event?
A dad-mom basketball game.
Dad, that would be worse.
I think a dad, mom, uncle.
Okay.
So it's not the worst competition.
It's definitely not. Yeah, so like they're kind of friendly about it. So what's implied is that like this happens every year and it's always good fun.
Mm-hmm.
So then Lucas shows up to the cafe, to Karen's cafe, and he apologizes to Haley. You know, he's basically like, I was an idiot. I didn't know all the information. She forgives him. Again, seems like she's withholding something. And then he kind of says, well, let me handle the team, okay? You don't need to, like, do this for me. And Haley's like, okay. So then he says, so you can stop tutoring Nathan now. And she says no. She says she's going to keep tutoring Nathan because she made a promise to him. And if she breaks her promise, she's just as bad as he is, which is ridiculous, but...
She says she's just as bad as you think he is.
Yeah.
So that's sort of the first sign that her spending time with him, tutoring him, she now has her own opinion of him. Whereas before it was all, she was 100% on Lucas's side. And that's why she didn't want to tutor him.
Right.
But like, now we're hearing a glimmer of like, she's seen it as a kind of a complicated situation, which it is. But in a way, yeah.
But like, we want to make it completely clear to the listeners at home that Will and I
are
both very much Team Scott.
Hashtag Team Scott.
And hashtag, I'm going to say it, I'm hashtag Team Lucas. But Haley was hashtag Team Lucas, and now she's hashtag Team Scott.
Right.
So then I wrote a really great extra, brings the newspaper over to Lucas. He just like really nailed his one line. And he's like, hey, loved this article about you and your pop. Which he, like, pop is not the best writing, and he really pulls it off.
Yeah.
He makes it sound really natural. And there's an article about Dan and both of his sons, and it makes the three of them sound like this, like, happy family, which is really irresponsible reporting.
Mm-hmm. But on the plus side, print journalism is alive and thriving in Tree Hill.
Yeah.
You know, people subscribe to this, like, weird cartoon magazine. Everyone's reading the paper. It was 2002, you know?
Yeah.
2005?
The only person that reads books in the town is Lucas and Jagowski.
Mm-hmm. Jagliowski.
Jagliowski.
Yeah.
But everyone else does read lots of newsprint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty good.
So we get the idea pretty fast that this is going to be a problem.
Yeah. And Lucas is not happy about it, for sure. So then what do we want to know? Well, we want to know, how does Nathan feel about it?
Yeah.
So Nathan and the D's, Deb and Dan,
mm-hmm.
Are double in their beautiful, and the double D's are in their beautiful kitchen. Just gorgeous.
Ugh, mid-century modern. If I knew what mid-century modern was, I would assume that they like have like that sort of the way that it's.
Yes, and they have an island.
Yeah, and Dan is really using the heck out of the island to make a robust protein shake. He's he's like mid-scoop. He's like putting in the whey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to bulk up for the game, because he's in training. So there, nobody in this house is happy about it. But Deb doesn't really care.
She's trying to get her boys to eat.
Yeah, she just wants her boys to eat something other than protein all the time.
Yeah, she's like, I took time off from my important
charity job.
Yeah, to make a beautiful breakfast.
Yeah.
And they're both of their, the Scott boys,
mm-hmm.
their appetite is just roined by this thing.
Yeah, they just like powder.
Yeah.
And Dan has a great line where he says, I wonder who's paying this reporter to support his crack habit. What? It's such a bad line.
Yeah, Abby made us listen to it three times.
And the third time was with captions because I just couldn't believe my ears that I didn't really understand what was going on because it's just a really bad line. So Deb's kind of like, oh, it's fine. Like, shouldn't you encourage Lucas and Nathan to get along? And Dan says, yeah, I'll do that as soon as hell freezes over.
And then
that's a perfect line reading of how he did it, too.
Yeah.
As soon as hell freezes over.
And then he takes a bite out of a pancake that he's holding in his hand.
Yeah.
Like, so,
yeah,
which
like a banana.
He takes a bite of it as if it's a banana.
Can you even imagine?
She's clearly taken a lot of time, has made breakfast, has put a lot of thought into it. Dan very petulantly is like, I'm not hungry anymore. He's lost his appetite. He says something really mean, gets his appetite back, and like doesn't enjoy the breakfast. He's like eating it quickly as if it's just his like a whey shake.
Yeah.
You know, so he doesn't even enjoy the thing that she's put a lot of time and thought into.
Or he's using it as like a punchline for his joke that's basically saying, I'm not going to listen to you, wife.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to listen to you, wife, but pancake.
Yeah.
So, not great. And then we go to school. We're in school now. Ring, ring, ring.
Oh, and we're not wearing any clothes.
Oh, I'm naked.
It's a dream, a horrible dream.
So, Nathan runs up to Peyton at her locker, maybe? I don't know. And he's like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, are you still mad at me? I'm sorry. And she's like, no, I'm not mad. We're just over. So I think he assumed that maybe they were just like going to get back on track, but she's pretty determined to stay broken up. And then we go over to Brooke and Lucas. So some more flirty locker time.
She slides inside of his locker. He's like getting a book out and the locker is open and she slides in.
She really takes up his personal space. Like if she were a boy doing this to a girl, it would be like very upsetting, very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
She
looks like she's in Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and she's about to like slip right into Narnia. For all you book nerds out there.
Oh, that's really funny.
It cannot be winners. Yeah, but so she slides right in his locker.
Yeah, you keep on saying she slides into his locker, and I just think I want to make it clear that, like, it's not like she's inside.
I know what I saw.
It's not like she's, like, inside of his locker. Like, she bullied herself into, like, shoving her teeny body into his locker. She just, like, goes, like, between his locker and him.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of like this image of her, like, he's going to love this. And she, like, squeezes herself into his locker. He's like, I'll be here all day. I can't get out. It's too tight.
Here's the thing about high school boys. They love it when you lock yourself in their lockers and change into your leopard print bra in there.
And then when they open up, you go, ah!
Like
scare them.
Yeah.
You scare them into liking you.
So she's just still kind of flirting with him. And then she slips back out of his locker, and he kind of watches her. And for the first time, I saw a little, glimmer in his eye.
Yeah, he's charmed.
He's starting to be worn down.
Yeah. Oh no. Well, I think from our perspective, he's starting to be worn down. But I think from the show's perspective,
yeah,
is that I think after she got a little more real with him for like 10 seconds last episode, he's kind of starting to see her in a new light.
Mm-hmm.
But she still is very flirty. Like, she grabs his shirt. She barely knows this guy. Can't grab a stranger's shirt.
Yeah, you can steal their hat at a party.
Yeah, steal
That's what you do in high
steal
school.
Steal their hat at a party, like, put it, like, backwards cat, walk around. But no.
Yeah.
Lucas is pretty happy because Brooke is pretty. But then when she leaves, he, like, looks across the hallway and he sees Nathan and Haley laughing and going into the tutoring center, which we all know is the main hookup spot at Tree Hill High.
Yeah, I need some help with my division homework.
There's so many better options. I need some work with my anatomy exam.
Oh, I don't understand square roots.
No, so something like I need help with physical education.
Oh, yeah. What's an isthmus?
That one's sexy. That's good.
Thank you.
So he sees it and he's like, I need to be okay with this. So we go to Whitey and Lucas, and Lucas wants to skip the father-son basketball game because
he's a bastard. Everybody knows.
And Whitey goes like, just because you're a bastard doesn't mean it won't be fun to dunk on Dan. That was my best one yet.
That's good, yeah.
So Whitey's basically like, you can have anybody play with you. Like, don't let him take this away from you. Go out there and have some fun.
Yeah, it's we'll for charity, but it's also about humiliating.
Yeah.
Your biological father.
Yeah, who's humiliated you for 16 years. So now we're at basketball practice, and as we have established multiple times, the cheerleaders do in fact practice with the basketball players, and that's significant here because Payne's a cheerleading. And Brooke gives her like just a very fair note about her cheer technique, and Peyton just goes off on her. She's like, this is stupid. It's all pointless. Don't you ever wonder why we're doing anything? Everything's dumb. We're just cheering so a bunch of people can do a thing that nobody cares about. And she throws her pom-poms, I believe is the correct. I think I said pom-pons at some point.
Oh, it's in first and then
I think it's pom-poms.
Pom-poms?
Yeah, I think so. And she throws them, and if I'm wrong, that's kind of fun for listeners who are seeing me make a complete fool of myself. And she throws the pom-poms at Brooke and leaves.
Storms out.
She storms out of there. Oh, and at this point, so she's been yelling at Brooke and kind of at everybody at the universe. And not only has cheer practice come to a halt, but so has the basketball practice.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is listening. Everyone sees this.
We see Nathan listening. We see Whitey listening. We see Lucas listening.
We don't see Jagowski listening because he's not there.
Yeah.
Where are you, Jagielski? So we're at the auto repair shop, and Lucas asks Keith to play in the father-son game for him. And what's really important here is that Keith's outfit is, I wrote, he's covered in grease and he has big old work boots on.
He's doing something very vague over the hood of a car.
Yeah, and he's convincing me that he knows what he's doing.
He's like, he's leaning in a way where he has to flex his arm. And it looks good. His tricep is popping.
Yeah.
Tricep?
Yeah, his tricep, triceratops.
Yeah.
No, he looks very good.
He looks great.
So Lucas asks him, but before Keith can answer, Dan, why are all of Dan's entrances so bad? I think it's because he's the villain, but all of his entrances are like so like
he so clearly thinks that he's the hero of his own story.
Yes.
That every entrance is actually the entrance of a high school boy because he's never gotten past that.
I was thinking the word, like, flaccid entrances. I don't know if that's the right
word. He flops in every scene.
He does. It just kind of feels like he, like, thinks it's really impressive, but it's just, like, a dangly, floppy peen.
Yeah.
So he pulls up in a bicycle, like a nerd, I wrote. Not, nerds don't all ride bicycles, but he just looks, and I love nerds. Oh, that's, okay, start over. He's just, he looks stupid. No. I just hate the way he looks on a bike.
And he skids to a stop. It's a big instrument. It's a big entrance.
Yeah, it's okay. He's treating the bike like it's a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Like, he feels like he's, like, riding it on his motorcycle, but he's not. He's riding it on a bike.
Yeah, like, he's Mrs. Incredibles 2 or something.
Yeah, he's, like, Incredibles 2.
It's also...
He's Sophia Bush in Incredibles 2.
He also has a car dealership. He has unlimited cars. Why is he riding a bike over?
Well, for fitness, because he's in training.
Okay,
good. So he's training for the game. But just, like, don't pull in like you're a superhero. Come on.
You're the supervillain.
Exactly. So he completely ignores Lucas. Doesn't, you know... He basically is just, like, talking to Keith, where he's like, hey, help your little brother out, give him some water. And they chat for a while, and finally he looks at Lucas and says, hey, kid, don't blow it at this game. Like, you apparently have, like, the Scott family name to live up to. And Lucas is like, that article's a lie. And Dan says, you're right. It is a lie. You never should have had that name in the first place. And then he gets on his bike, and he wheels out of there.
Yeah.
And it is... super mean, and then Lucas takes the dirty rag in his hand and he throws it to the side.
Yeah, he chads it.
Yeah, which is what we've started calling throwing things to the side in frustration.
Yeah, that's a chad. Let's get that trending.
Post a video of yourself throwing something to the side. Hashtag I chatted it.
All the kids are chatting these days, and parents are worried. Should they be?
So Keith says, don't let him get in your head. And so this is where Lucas is like, you're right. I'm not going to let him get in my head. In fact, I'm going to get him out of my head. How am I going to do that? And there's just super dramatic music. Like, you know, this is the type of music that plays when it's like, I'm pregnant or he's dead, things like that. And he just goes, I'm going to change my last name. And Keith practically faints. And then that's the end of the episode. Like, cuts to commercial. And everyone's just like, oh, I wish I had TiVo.
Yeah.
So I could fast forward because you're freaking out. His last name. He's going to change his last name. What do you think?
Well, my first thought was that I didn't immediately think about him changing his last name to Karen's last name. Because I don't know her last name.
Yeah.
Do you know it?
I will remember it.
Yeah. But I couldn't remember her last. So I was thinking he could change it to anything.
So what are some possibilities for Lucas's new last name?
One was like just Lucas again. So Lucas.
Lucas.
So then he could have his first name as his last name.
Yeah. Lucas George.
Yeah, Lucas comma George. Middle name comma.
Middle name comma. Last name George.
Lucas Michael Murray. And then like some sort of like crossover.
Lucas Michael Murray is good.
Pretty good. What if he's like, Uncle Keith, I want to take your last name.
Lucas. Lucas Uncle.
I was like, I'm changing my last name to Scott, but it's your Scott, not his. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Okay, so then we're back with Danny goes into Whitey's office. Whitey's just always in that dang office of his. And Dan doesn't want Keith to play. And he's making it sound like he doesn't want him to play for all these, like, selfless reasons. He's like, wouldn't that make this person feel sad? But then Whitey completely calls him out. And he's like, maybe you don't want him to play because you feel, like, shitty. And he says, you have a pit in your stomach when you see the sun you never claimed. And this game isn't going to change it. And the only way you're going to get rid of that feeling is if you admit that you made a mistake. And Dan does not take this well.
I wrote old wise Whitey.
They should call him Wisey. That would be a much better name than Whitey. Anything would be better than Whitey.
They should call him
Wise T. Wise T. Like iced tea.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Ice Cube.
I mean, I think he's right. Well, he's kind of telling... It's also he's not being mean. He's being like brutally... He's being brutal. Harsh.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah. And he's kind of saying something that, like, people like Karen and Keith have said things similar to Dan, but they've always kind of skirted around it, where, like, Whitey is saying, like, the core of it. And he's the first person that said that's accused Dan of feeling bad about Lucas.
I think every other conversation around it has been, Dan, you're causing Lucas to feel this way. You're causing Dan, or you're causing, you know, Nathan to feel this way.
Yeah.
Here are the effects of your actions on the people around you. And Wise T is the first person to say, here's what's happening to you because of how you're acting.
Yeah.
You know, and that it's actually having, holding on to this animosity is hurting yourself, and you're trying to solve the problem in a way that's not going to work.
Yeah, or like you're turning your guilt into bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like he's kind of saying, like, I think a lot of people have been treating, like, stop being so angry at this kid. But White is the one that's like, you feel angry at him because you're angry at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, yeah, and everything that you're doing right now is not helping, you dumb bastard. That's right. He says, you're the bastard.
Yeah.
And he grabs him by the collar. You're the bastard.
And he pushes his face against the mirror.
Yeah, and he kisses him slowly on the forehead. And he says, I forgive you. And that's the end of the episode. That's how long the kiss is. It's like 40 minutes.
That's just some of the fan fiction. That's just a little taste of the fan fiction that Abby and I are going to write for next week's episode.
Oh boy. Yep, there it is. It starts with a slow, long kiss. That we have our opener. Slow, long kiss from Whitey to Dan. And who knows what happens next. Ew. Alright, so then Lucas is playing mini golf on the rooftop. Karen comes up and she is like, Keith told me you're thinking about changing your last name. And she kind of tells us the story, like the full story of finding out she was pregnant and everything that happened, kind of in more detail than we've heard before. Heard it in bits. But
and as she's telling it, she's playing putt-putt golf and she's distractingly bad.
Oh, she's so bad. And she even says, like, if you can't run away from your problems. And then she goes to hit it and the ball goes like 2 feet.
Yeah.
And she doesn't run away. She picks it right back up and she tries again.
Yeah.
So she says that when she found out she was pregnant, Dan already had a basketball scholarship to go to college and nothing was going to make him stop. So she thought they were broken up. But then during his freshman year, he changed his mind and he said, I'm going to marry you next semester and I want to raise this kid with you. So then when she was in labor or after she had the baby, after she had Lucas, they asked for the last name, and she thought Dan was on his way and that they were going to be married, so she said Scott. And meanwhile, Dan was not there, but Keith was there. And he held Lucas, was one of the first people to hold him, and she said that was the only time she's ever seen Keith cry in his life. And Dan didn't show up, but Keith did. And she ends that story with saying, you know, Keith's a Scott too. And then she basically says, I give you my blessing if you want to change your name, but also know that your name is what you want it to be.
What's in a name?
Yeah.
That's how I would say it.
What Will said. Wow, we would have saved a lot of time if that had just been her entire speech.
What's in a name? And she shrugs and she finds
and she leaves. She's like, she's right. But it is a really sweet moment before that I skipped where, like, Lucas is like, I want to take your name. And that's, like, a really nice moment. And I get that.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting, and it kind of, I think, shows how much Karen cares for Keith and feels like he's a big part of Lucas's life because she, you know, she's saying she'll support him no matter what, but she is kind of giving this kind of argument being, like, Scott is not, like, Scott is a part of your identity, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. And she also admits that she doesn't know what it feels like to walk around with that name.
Right.
Yeah.
So then Nathan goes up to Brooke on their way back into school, and he asks her if she's seen Peyton, and neither of them have seen her. And Brooke ends the conversation by saying, maybe she's out kicking the homeless. I guess because Peyton's been real mean to people recently. So nobody knows where Peyton is. And we see Peyton.
We know.
Yeah, and she's doing something pretty badass. She is attempting to light a cigarette while sitting in a cemetery. Pretty cool. And Whitey sees her, and that made me ask the question of, like, when is this?
Yeah.
Is it because the idea is it's during school, but like, doesn't Whitey need to be at school? Like, why are they both at the cemetery? But we find out. So he kind of goes up to Peyton, sits with her.
She has a lot of good zingers in this scene.
Yeah, she really does. I didn't write any of them down.
I think I have the gist of some of them. Okay. I'll sprinkle them in.
Okay. Do you want to sprinkle one now?
Yeah. Whitey says, "What are you doing in the cemetery?" To which Peyton responds, "Well, Nathan and I just broke up, so I thought I needed a new bad habit." She takes a pull.
Oh, she takes, yeah.
Yeah.
And then he says, "There's a lot of smokers here in the graves."
Yeah.
It's a joke.
She says, "What are you doing here? Making a reservation?"
Yeah, that was pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
She's good. And this is when we find out some things about both Whitey and Peyton. So Whitey starts talking to Peyton about her mom. And he says, you know, she was a really great cheerleader and a really great student, and just talks about how much he enjoyed having her as a student. And that's when we find out that Peyton's mom... What?
That Whitey also teaches some classes.
Yeah, probably. That Peyton's mom has passed away. And we don't know the details, but we do know that she passed away around this date, or maybe on this very day, a certain number of years ago. And we also know that she also grew up in the town, and that she knew Whitey and everybody else. And also that she was a cheerleader. So that kind of gives us a little insight into why maybe Peyton's a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also find out that Whitey's wife, Camilla, also passed away and is buried in the cemetery, and also passed away around the same time, like this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also why Whitey remembers that Peyton's mom died then, because he associates it with his wife's passing.
Mm-hmm. And I think we as the audience, it's a red herring, but are meant to read that as like a murder-suicide type situation. We're supposed to read some sort of... I don't know about you, Abby. You've seen the show before, but seeing it the first time, I thought, okay, so... His wife is dead. Her mom is dead. They died around the same time. There's a pretty, you know, Occam's razor. The simplest answer is always right.
It's always right.
It's a murder-suicide.
I'm not going to say that murder-suicides are, like, a far-off concept in the world of One Tree Hill.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll.
Okay. Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll find out later. Who killed whom?
Well, they're also in the same part of the cemetery.
No, he says, he's like, my wife's buried over there.
Because typically with the murder suey, they bury them side by side.
In the same grave.
Yeah. Too dark?
Yeah, something. Yeah, so they just have a really nice moment.
Yeah.
And Payne's like, do you think that they can listen? Like, that she's like, do you think your wife's listening when you talk to her? And he says, oh yeah, he doesn't hesitate.
Yeah.
Like, of course. So, then we're with Haley and Nathan.
And
let's everyone just take a collective sigh.
1, 2, 3. Nice. I think they've left the tutoring center and are in a house. I think she's over at his house now.
She's
and they're sitting on the same side of a table.
You're correct.
And there's a flower pot behind her that kind of matches her blouse. Like, she's at home. We're being told visually that she's like, she's more comfortable. Belongs. I mean, the last time we saw them tutoring together, it was still very romantic down by the river, but they were sitting on opposite sides of the table. She was keeping her distance. Mm. Now she's letting her guard down.
Yeah. So he got a D either on a test or a practice test, so that's not good.
But it is an improvement because he had got an F before.
Yeah, F for fine.
Idiot.
And Haley is like, you're not working hard enough. And he says, I'm really distracted. Me and Peyton broke up. And she goes, Peyton and I. And Nathan says that he's really worried. He's playing the nice guy. So he's like, I'm really worried about her. And then Haley drops. Haley goes, like, we see classic Haley here. Blunt, honest Haley. And she says, well, maybe you should have been more worried about her when you were actually dating. And he gets really defensive really quickly. He says, you don't know the first thing about Peyton and I. And then Haley goes, me and Peyton. And then Will and I both at the same time went, Peyton and me.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to correct somebody's grammar, do it correctly, please.
Yeah, who watches The Watchmen?
All right, so then Peyton, again, we see her at the car, in her car at a green light, stopped. And Lucas has been watching her do this, I'm assuming, like, days.
Because like, she feels starts like she outside just keeps... the cafe. Yeah. Yeah.
So then Lucas gets in the car. He's like, what are you doing? And so he gets in the car, and she doesn't change anything because he's in there, and she starts speeding through the red lights. And the two of them, like, Lucas is freaking out. He's like, slow down, slow down, slow down. And they run through all the red lights till they make it to, like, the end of the earth.
Yeah.
They just, like, make it to the end of the street, and it's just a dead end. There's, like, you just see, like, a barren wasteland. It just drops off, and you're like, what's on the other side?
Yeah.
Like, nothing. There's, it's an abyss of nothingness.
The real red light. The final red light.
Ooh. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
That should be the name of the episode. And Peyton just starts talking. And she says, you know, she ran one red light. My mom, she was late for picking me up from school. So she ran one red light and she died. And I run red lights all the time and nothing ever happens. It's not fair. So she really, we finally find out why she's doing this, what the comic strip is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about Nathan. It's about her mom. And she shares that with Lucas and nobody else. And then Lucas is like, do you want me to stay? And she says, no. So she opens up a bit, but then kicks him out of the car and makes him walk all the way back to the cafe. And she drives off.
She doesn't even give him a ride.
No.
And we can only assume that then she's about to run the red lights in reverse. She looks over her shoulder. She puts her arm on the back.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's intense. And you sort of realize, I mean, the first time it feels like, oh, this is like a reckless act. And then we seeing her do it a second time, we sort of realize that this is like a habit. Or yeah. It's like a death wish.
Kind yeah. of. It's, yeah. It's a... Yeah. I was literally going to say it's a red flag, red light. But it, like, yeah. I think in the context of the show, we can just, like, write it off. But if that happened in real life to a friend, like, you would reach out. I think you should reach out to a counselor or suicide hotline or something. Because it is,
it's not a fun little thing she's doing to connect to the memory of her mom.
If it's not suicidal, it's suicidal adjacent, right? It's like, putting yourself in harm's way, for sure. And I think one reason maybe you can think it's like a little less, like, I think maybe one reason it feels detached from that is because it is like an art, it almost feels like performance art-esque. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very artistic and poetic response.
She's not just doing something reckless. It's,
So Dan and Keith are at the auto repair. Keith offers Dan a beer. Just a little upsetting because he's at his place of work and it's like the middle of the day and it seems like a pretty regular thing that he does. But he offers him a beer and Dan says, no, I'm in training. And Keith is like, well, you're taking this way too seriously. Mm-hmm. Like, you're training, like, this is supposed to be a fun thing. And at some point, Keith says, you fathered him, Dan.
Yeah. He also calls beers Frosties, which I'm going to start doing.
Oh, that is really good.
Yeah.
It definitely makes it sound like less upsetting that he's drinking in the middle
of
the day.
And he does it with his back. He was like, hey, you want a Frosty? And I was like, oh, that's fun. And he turned around and it's a beer.
Yeah.
So that was...
We thought it was a Frosty from Wendy's. It was product placement. Do you want a Frosty? They're having a $1 deal from now until August.
I like having mine with fries.
They just kind of get into a big old fight, and you see that they don't really get along. So then Peyton is confidently walking through the boys' locker room, and I wrote "girl alert" because everyone is freaking out.
When I was in high school, I couldn't walk confidently through the boys' locker room.
No, I still can't walk through any locker room confidently.
Anytime I'm in the locker room, I have to wear a towel
or a long
shirt.
When Will's wearing a towel in our apartment, I have to leave.
But she's just trying to get to Whitey.
Yeah, and you have to walk through the locker room to get to this teacher.
Yeah.
She wants to talk to him, and I'm gonna skip to the scene where they talk.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back. So Whitey takes Peyton to this bridge, and he's holding a cigar.
Mm-hmm.
Casual. And Peyton's kind of like, do you ever wonder about being a coach? He's like, I've been a coach all my life. She's like, do you ever wonder if you made the right choice? He's like, yeah, sometimes, like, on missed holidays or when I didn't get to spend as much time with Camilla, I rethought it. But he talks about, he's like, I miss her every day. But one thing I figured out is, like, I was trying to search for answers for years and you're never going to find them. And the one truth is, you're not going to find any answers. So, like, give yourself a break. And then she
says, "Break me off a piece." And they sing together of that Kit Kat bar. And it's like,
and then they're both completely healed.
They're really good friends in this moment.
Yeah.
They, like, really have a good connection.
Yeah. They're the BFFs of the episode, for sure.
Yeah. I love a good cross-generational friendship. And he's smelling a cigar, and he's not smoking it, because he stopped smoking when Camille died.
Yeah.
Which, to me, that's a clue that maybe it wasn't a murder-suicide. And that maybe she died of, like, smoking-related illnesses.
Unless there was, like, a cigar at the crime scene.
Oh, and he likes remembering the crime
scene. Oh, yeah, never mind. Okay, so then Lucas and Haley are on the roof, and Haley's like, "Can we please just stop? I don't want this tension in our relationship." And she says, "You know, when you joined the team, I didn't completely understand it, but I supported you. Now, you don't completely understand what I'm doing, but please support me." And I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of is like, "You have to, like, you're just tutoring him, right?" And she says, "Yes, I promise. I'm just tutoring him." And he says, "Okay." And then they knuck.
Mm-hmm.
They knock knucks. So they're finally better. Because, you know, Lucas has agreed to, like, trust her and know, you know, that she's doing this because, in his mind, she's doing it because she thinks it's the right thing to do. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Karen and Lucas...
Well, hold on. We did skip a scene. Were you going to come back to it?
Oh, poo!
Well, just...
Okay, yeah. So I'll go... Sorry. So, yeah, going back to the scene that happened before Whitey and Peyton. So Nathan and... Oh, this is big. So Nathan and Haley are tutoring again. And... This time,
this is a huge scene.
Yeah, because Haley...
We figure out that she's watching The Office inside the show of One Tree Hill. Was that what you were going to say?
No.
What were you going to say?
That's why this is a big deal.
What's your takeaway?
There's just like a major like shift in their relationship. And we find out that she watches The Office because she's such a Pam. Am I right? She's a Pam.
I think she's a Haley. I think she's a Haley.
Don't know why I had to get closer to the microphone for that. So Haley this time initiates the personal questions. And she asks Nathan if he misses Peyton. And he says, yeah, that he screwed up and he wants another chance. And then they talk about it or something. And then Haley... shows him the practice, because while they're chatting, she's like grading his practice exam, and he got an 81%, which is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, you know, we're talking more than Peyton and I ever did. And he invites her to the game. He's like, I'd love if you come to the game. And it's just getting a little gross, because also, like, the reason she's gone to the basketball game in the past is for Lucas, and this time he's inviting her. And she kind of like flirtatiously says no.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, the office isn't gonna watch itself or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna watch The Office instead of going to the game. But she says, oh no, this is what she says. He's like, come to the game. She says, if you get an 81% or higher, I will, and if not, I'm just gonna watch The Office.
Mm-hmm.
So then Keith and Lucas are practicing on the lakeside court. And here's my question for Will. I thought we could start a new segment called Pulling It Off. And the question is, does that character pull off the outfit that they're wearing? So they're playing basketball, practicing basketball. This is what Uncle Keith is wearing. He has like combat boots on, or like workers' boots, not combat. Like workers' boots, jeans, a hoodie, a t-shirt, and a bandana that's like very thick wrapped around his forehead.
And some scruff.
Yeah, a little goatee.
He looks like full David Foster Wallace. This is water speech. Look it up. Cross-reference it.
So is he pulling it off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of. A 6.
6 out of 10?
Out of 5.
Oh, he's killing it. No one's ever looked better. So then Lucas is like, Keith, you don't need to play if you don't want to. And Keith... basically says, like, you know, I'm not close with Dan. I barely know Nathan. You and your mom are my family, and I was honored that you asked me to play. And he goes to leave, and that's when we get one of the classic One Tree Hill scenes of, hey, Keith?
Yeah?
Thanks.
I've noticed just in our relationship, we've started doing that more.
That's the only way we communicate now. We wait until the other person's about to leave. We go, hey.
Yeah?
The oven's on.
Yeah, it's not always a thank you. It's a lot of times it's really personal. Like, immediate.
It's just chores.
Yeah.
Hey, buy toilet paper if you're going out. Okay, so the next scene is with Deb and Nathan, and she starts the scene. She goes, how's my boy? And Nathan goes, why?
It's really funny.
And Deb basically says, you know, if you're not having fun playing anymore, then don't play anymore. Your dad will get over it. And Nathan says, you and I both know that's a lie.
And he gives her the lemonade back.
Oh, yeah, she's given him lemonade. Didn't realize that was a vital detail to share.
I pick up on. Well, I felt visually that was a thing of like, when life gives you lemonade, mention
the lemons. Give it back to your mom. So then Peyton's on the bridge. So I guess she's been on the bridge for a while now, since Whitey left her there, abandoned her, really. And Lucas is going to check in on her. And we find out more from Peyton. She's basically saying how hard this week is for her and how usually she's with her dad, but he's a captain of a dredging boat, so he's always gone.
And this year he just sent her an email.
Yeah. Not good.
No.
And it kind of changes, it kind of shows, it explains more about Peyton that, like, she does seem to have a lot of freedom over, like, you know, she just doesn't have much authority in her life, and it's because her dad's gone all the time. So she really comes and goes as she pleases.
Yeah.
But she just wants her dad there. And Lucas says a few nice things. And he says, you know, he does say, I would like give up my dad for your mom to be alive.
I would gladly erase my dad if I could bring back your mom.
And it's like sweet.
It's kind of a nice thing to say, but it also isn't because he doesn't like his dad.
Yeah. It's kind of making it about his.
Yeah.
Stuff. It's a weirdly violent thing to say.
Yeah.
But then he says, you know, I wish I could change it.
I wish there was a spell that could make Dan disappear.
Yes. And they have a sweet moment where she kind of looks at him. She goes, thank you. And Lucas goes, hey, Peyton. And you think you're going to get another thanks.
Yeah.
Two in a row.
I think he's trying to hey, thanks her.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. I like that.
And she stops him and she says, don't ruin it.
Don't ruin it, okay?
What?
Don't say another word.
What are you talking about? Peyton.
I'm leaving. I'm gone. I'm back here. I'm over here. So then Double D is at their house and Dan is just like a giddy little boy. And she says, oh, you're happy, aren't you?
He's maybe and drinking he says, a big glass of whiskey.
Oh, yeah, big glass of whiskey. Yeah, it's like a normal glass of whiskey.
But it's not a tumbler. It's like a cup.
He says it's like Christmas Eve. And then this is when it gets gross. And I don't want to watch this part because they get all flirty. So she says, are you naughty or nice? And she sits on his lap.
And he's like, I'm naughty. I'm about to be naughty.
Yeah.
That's kind of what he's...
And so then she's like, you miss it, don't you? And then he gives a speech about how he regrets basketball not being in his life every single day and how it's the best it ever was for him and just describes in detail how amazing it felt to play basketball. And then Deb says, it's better than us, like better than me and Nathan. And he looks at her and instead of just saying, no, you're better.
Of course, of course high school basketball isn't better than you.
He says, it's different. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I feel like this connected to Whitey's speech. So Whitey was talking about, so Peyton's like, do you ever regret the way you chose to spend your life?
Mm-hmm.
And Whitey says, like, the only reason he would regret it is because it took him away from his wife. But he doesn't want to live in that regret. He can't think like that. He wants to appreciate what he had. Mm-hmm. And then meanwhile, we have Dan, who has a beautiful wife and kid. And has all the things that, like, you know, Whitey lost his wife, wishes he had her still. And now we have Dan, who's like talking about the glory days and like deeply regretting that he doesn't still have that in his life. He's just very bitter about his past.
Yeah.
He's doing the opposite of what Whitey did.
Yeah. And I feel like he lied. He does think it was better.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And Deb knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then we go to Nathan and is in Peyton's room. And Peyton, this is not her best or more subtle work, but she's painting a black canvas black. She's painting black on black. And Nathan goes, like, nice painting. And what's it called? And she says, it's called love.
Which is good.
So basically he's trying to get her back again. And he brings up these old memories, Wrightsville Beach, whatever that was. And she's like, that was a long time ago.
He also brings up bad memories. I mean, they're not bad memories, but it shows that he doesn't have a good... He's trying to make this gesture. And the two things he remembers, like, remember the beach? Or, like, being in your room? Yeah. Like, the things that he remembers are just these physical moments. You know, it's
Right.
And that's what he's there for. And I don't know how he got in her house.
I think she just keeps the door open.
People her walk dad's into her not, house all the time. Her dad's not home.
No. It's a small town.
She just walked right in, yeah.
But she's kind of like, she's like, I've had a really busy, hard week. And he's like, yeah, me too. Like, or he kind of understands. And I think she is expecting him to talk, to like understand about his mom or something like that. But then he just starts talking about basketball again. And she snaps. She's like, I really can't hear this right now. Please leave. And instead of leaving, he invites her to the game and he's like, I want to hang out after the game. I miss you, Peyton. I know you miss me too. He basically is like telling her how she feels and trying to like manipulate her to meet him after the game. So the big question of the episode is she going to go to the game or not? Because we're kind of left wondering, like, it's ambiguous how Peyton's feeling, and we're like, is she going to get back together with him? Because she doesn't kick him out immediately. So then everyone's going to the game and Haley walks up to the school and Lucas and Nathan are both there and Nathan calls out to her and Lucas is watching this whole scene. Nathan calls out to Haley and he holds up his test and he got an 84, or he says he got an 84 on the test.
Like we believe him.
And Haley's like, that's amazing. And Nathan kind of like holds his arms out for a hug. And she hesitates for a moment, but then she hugs him. And this is, oof. So he hugs her. And over her shoulder, while they're hugging, he finds Lucas's eyes. And he makes heavy eye contact with Lucas with like a smirk on his face.
It's horrible.
For the whole hug.
Yeah.
And Lucas leaves. He's very upset. Well, he goes to the gym. But it's evil.
And what gym is it?
It's the Whitey Durham Recreational Center.
Never seen anything like it. No. Named after the living coach.
Yeah. Who definitely did not buy that gym.
Right. Definitely didn't like donate the money.
Maybe it was like after like 20 years or 30 years of working there. Maybe it was like to commemorate.
Or maybe he had, maybe his father was Whitey Durham Sr.
So there's two Whitey Durhams out there. There's two Whiteys.
Not anymore.
Oh, real.
But I actually do think that's, I love that. Whitey is such a force in this town. Mm-hmm. He, like, knew all the dads when they were kids.
He knew everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone went to Tree Hill High.
Yeah.
So we're in the dad's locker room.
They go into the Whitey to play the game.
They go into
Whitey.
Like,
what do the kids call it? Hey, meet you in the Whitey.
I guess they call it the gym.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
You know how kids are.
This is their high school gym, and it's only used for basketball. There's no other sports at this high school.
Well, cheerleading.
Oh, cheerleading. You're right. So we're in the dad's locker room. Dad bods. And a really nice dad is like, hey, Keith. And they're all nice to each other. And he's like, oh, I didn't know you had a boy here. And Keith, looking at Dan, goes, I'm a stand-in. One of the boys doesn't have a father. And I'm like, where, like, the dad that asked him that, where has he been?
Yeah.
Did he not read the newspaper yesterday? He's a Scot. So then we're out on the court, and Haley calls out to Lucas from the stand. She's like, "Hey, Lucas, hey, Lucas." And he just completely ignores her. He's ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cold.
And at this point, we're like, oh, maybe he changed his whole name. That's why he's not responding.
Okay, so we're in the game.
Yeah.
We're in the game now. Here we go. So it's dads versus sons, Keith's versus others. And the tip-off starts with Dan and Nathan. Big moment for everybody. They're like fun trash-talking each other. He's like, oh, watch out for your hip, old man, or something like that. Dan wins the tip-off, and they just start playing the ball.
The nature of the gameplay does make it that much more ridiculous that Dan felt like Christmas Eve the night before.
Right, because it's so casual. Is that what you mean? Yeah.
It's so casual, and this is probably obvious, but you realize that, like, all the other, like, normal dads haven't been training for this game.
Like, they're really, they're going to lose, is the idea. So while the game is happening, we see Peyton is driving through the red lights again. But this time, what makes it different is that this is at night. Mm-hmm. So it's just way more dangerous. It's very dark outside, and she's doing it during the game. So we go back to the game, and it's close to halftime, and it's really fun because the announcer's kind of talking about, he's like, oh, the sons are now just taunting the dads because they're winning by so much because they are better. The sons are better. So all the sons are, and it's cute because every dad is paired up with his son.
Mm-hmm.
So his guard is guarding his son. So each son does like a really fun, silly move that they would never do in a real game, but they get to do because their dads are so bad. And everyone's laughing and the dads are cracking up. So like Lucas, spins the ball on his finger.
Mm-hmm.
Like another son like does fancy footwork with his dad, and his dad's just like, ha ha ha. And then they pass it to Nathan, and Dan is like, you better not try any of that silly stuff with me, son. And Nathan smiles and does just a great move where he puts the basketball in his jersey and then like hits it so it comes around the back of his jersey, dribbles and shoots and scores on his dad in that silly manner. And the crowd loves it.
They eat it up. I think that's the one basketball Dan doesn't love.
Dan hates it.
That's like the one basketball trick that I actually do know how to do. No, really. I feel like that's the thing that I would practice and could kind of do. I could never predict where the ball was going to come out. I was on the swim team.
So clearly you were always practicing your basketball moves.
Oh, right, sons are crushing.
Yeah. And Deb is laughing. Like, everyone's having a good time.
Yeah.
So we're at halftime, and we cut to the dads in the locker room. So the dads are in the locker room, and they're all cracking up, having a good time, and Dan is completely miserable. And he basically, if I was one of these dads, I'd be like, what are you doing? He basically calls them out. He's like, what? You guys shouldn't be laughing. They're killing us out there. It's embarrassing. And Keith goes, yeah, it is embarrassing. We're old men playing horribly, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And it's just the perfect line. It's like the whole point is that they're supposed to lose this brilliantly and just be proud of their sons. And everyone's having a great time, and Dan just looks, again, it's him being the protagonist, like the hero.
Yeah.
When he's actually the villain, because it's just like him riding in on a bike, treating it like it's a motorcycle. He's treating this game like it's a big deal. And he looks so foolish.
Yeah.
And everyone around him is really, like, everyone around him is the hero.
Yeah.
And he looks silly.
And then Dan storms out and walks into the players.
Yeah. He walks into the Suns' locker room. So he walks into the Suns' locker room, and he goes up to Nathan, and he basically, like, it's like, you and me. Like, let's see who, let's play. He's accusing Nathan of not giving him his best, of not actually trying hard. And he's like, you and me out there, like, one-on-one, we'll see who's best. And Nathan was having a really good time, too, and suddenly is having an awful time. And is embarrassed in front of everyone. Like, his dad's antagonizing him in front of his team. And Keith comes in and kind of saves the day. He de-escalates the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of takes Nathan's side and tells Dan, it's their game now. We should really be really proud of them. Then Dan leaves, and Keith kind of looks at Nathan and is like, you're doing great. And he leaves too. And it's like actually a really nice moment between Keith and Nathan.
Yeah. I got a little choked up, I think, actually, because it was the first time that we've seen Keith be gentle towards his other nephew.
Yeah. Yeah, act like family to Nathan, not just Lucas. And before we go back to the game, we're back with Peyton, because she's been running these red lights. And it just, you know, and we just feel like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. You just, like, get this feeling, maybe it's the music, that it's not going to go well this time.
She's a little more emotional.
Yeah, and we also, like, it's just tense, because it's like, she can't do this again and again without getting hurt. So she drives through the red light. And a car comes by and nearly T-bones her, but barely misses her. She stops, and this is finally where she just starts crying.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally kind of releases whatever, you know, feelings of grief have been pent up. She just starts weeping in the middle of the intersection. And they're leaving to go back to play the game, and Haley goes up to Lucas. And she's like, why are you being so cold? And he says, like, I saw you with Nathan, like, I don't think that you're just tutoring him. I think there's more going on. And she's like, there really isn't. And they kind of have this back and forth where she's like, I promise you there isn't. I promise you there isn't. And he just says, I'm sorry, but I just don't believe you. And then he sees the bracelet that Nathan gave her, and she's wearing it again. And he goes, nice bracelet, and walks away. Okay, so then we arrive at, I guess this is how all basketball games end. Because, you know, I don't really watch a lot of basketball.
I don't know a ton about basketball either.
But the way that this game ends is that they put the score back 0-0 and they just say that the next basket wins. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that's how it works in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so everyone's having a good time. They pass to Nathan. Nathan goes to shoot and Dan checks him and makes hurts him and makes Nathan fall down.
Yeah.
And it's very violent and everyone kind of, and Nathan's down for a while.
And we see an angry side of Whitey that we haven't seen in a while.
Yes.
Where Dan is clearly not listening to his words of wisdom.
Not at all. And he goes up to Nathan and you think he's maybe going to apologize, but Dan goes, sorry, son, I couldn't give you the winning bucket. So he's like, not sorry. He's basically telling his son that he won't let him have a nice moment.
And then there's a really clever, beautiful bit of editing.
Go for it, Will.
He's standing over him, cut to hands, helping each other up. And then another cut to reveal that Lucas has pulled Nathan to his feet. So his half-brother has stepped in and helped him after his dad just, like, checked him. And they have a moment, and Lucas is in that, you know, that tense, that charged moment on the court is basically like, do you want to beat him? Like, should we work together to take him down? And sort of right after that moment of reconciliation, Nate responds, like, I want to do it on my own.
Yeah. So Lucas is like, okay. Yeah. So then they get the ball back, and Lucas has the ball, but he kind of just stops, and he hands it to Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
So he like kind of lets Nathan have it. He's like, here. You know, do what you need to do. So then Nathan goes to shoot, but he hits the ball on his foot and knocks it out of bounds. So they lose possession. So Dan has the ball. He dribbles it all the way back to his basket. Nathan is guarding him, and they have a very long conversation where Dan says some basketball term where he's like, oh, your turnover was weak there, son, or something like that. And Nathan was like, I did it on purpose. And he says, I did it on purpose. You know why, Dad? Because you don't deserve my best game. And he backs up. And he says, if you want the shot, take it. You can have it. And this is a moment where Dan could finally hear all the people all around him telling him how to be a good person. And he could hand the ball to Nathan and let his son win. But instead, wide open with nobody guarding him because Nathan's given him the shot, he shoots and scores and the dads win. And we go to Deb, and Deb is just very, very upset because she sees what happened. Lucas is mad. Everyone's mad. And Nathan looks at Dan and he goes, you didn't beat me, Dad. You never will. So actually, like, it was pretty, I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
What he did. Like, it's both, like, completely, like, mentally and emotionally, like, beating Dan, but also it's kind of the higher thing to do. Mm-hmm. It's him saying, like, this game, like, I'm better at you than this game, and it doesn't mean as much to me as you. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think?
And it's sort of a semi-united front from Lucas and Nathan.
Kind of.
Right. Well, they're, like, not, they don't get in each other's way, which is sort of kind of a first. Or even, like, comment on it. Like, mm-hmm. Luke gets out of the way and kind of lets it happen.
And Nathan, this whole time, has felt this need to be the best at basketball.
Yeah.
And this is the first time where he, like, lets...
He learns the lesson that Dan never learned.
Yeah. He, like, lets it be about more than just basketball. Mm-hmm. He's, like, basically saying, I have nothing to prove.
Yeah. He kind of, in a way, channels what Uncle Keith was saying in the locker room.
Yes, he does.
Takes that to heart. If only the two Scots could have hanged on to this feeling.
So then Keith and Lucas are back together, and they're back together finally. Will they, won't they, of the show. And Lucas basically is like being all sweet on Keith, where he's like, he's like, thanks for what you did. And Keith is like, what are you talking about? I was the worst one out there. He says, no, it was never about basketball. What you did for Nathan in the locker room, what you've done for me and for my mom. I was proud to have you as my dad for the night. And I'm going to keep the Scott last name.
I sort of do wish that moment had been, hey, I'm going to change it back. Like, I wish he had already gone through with
it. He has, like, his new, like, certificate of name change, and he just rips it up. And Keith is like, I like the gesture, but you will have to go change it again.
Can you drive me to the...
So then Nathan sees... So Peyton shows up after the game, and he says, I knew you'd come. And he thinks that she's there for him. And Peyton, basically to Nathan, is like, did you know that my mom died tonight 7 years ago? And Nathan clearly did not know. It dawns on him that all the stuff that he thought she was doing because she was upset they broke up was because she was grieving her mom. And she says, no, you didn't know that because you never asked. So it's pretty clear that they're officially over.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't come here for you. And Nathan says, well, why'd you come? And Lucas comes out, and we think she came for Lucas. But then she walks right by both of them.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't give a fuck.
I think she kind of came for Lucas, right? Maybe she just came?
I think she maybe came to, like, to say that to Nathan and then leave.
I think that's probably true.
But she definitely walks by Lucas, too. She does not stay with him.
But I think even though he's wrong, it is more Nate realizes that maybe there is something going on.
Yeah.
Or there's a connection.
They have something. And this is when Lucas quotes John Steinbeck. As John Steinbeck once wrote, blah, 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 blah. And it ends with, try so to live that our death brings no pleasure on the world. It's a deep, deep quote to just throw out at the end. And as they say that, Peyton sees the one street with all the lights on it, and they all turn green, and she follows the green lights. End of Sewed.
My prediction in episode 6, I'm guessing the title will be Look Behind You, But the Past Won't Catch You. It's already here. Skills will show up with a rucksack on his back, and he'll knock on Lucas's door, and Lucas will open, and he'll say, Skills? Where have you been the last couple episodes? No, he won't say episodes, but he'll be like, Where have you been? You didn't come to any of my games, so I'll be kind of mad. And Skills will say, the craziest thing just happened to me. And it'll be like a Skills episode. Okay. And so we'll see the Skills, like the lost months. And he got like looped in with like a migrant lifestyle and has been picking oranges. And is now on the run from the law.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. We just love each and every one of you. This has been One Tree Will, and I'm Abby.
I'm Will.
And just remember,
I was proud to have you as my dad tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to One Tree Will. This is the eponymous Will. That's a word that you've got to use every chance you get. If you like the show, you can find more about it on Facebook at One Tree Will or on Twitter, also at One Tree Will, the number one, the words Tree Will. The way that you can help is tell your friends about it or leave a review on iTunes. It really helps, so thanks a lot. Also, we don't have any sponsorship for the podcast, so we just like to thank people who are listening to the show individually. Amelie, you're a great listener and a super friend. We love you. Bye for now.